Techonomics. Techonomics. Techonomics brings you the impact stories on the coming horizon of what's happening in the tech economy with host Jason Middleton.
It's the story of a brilliant inventor and his friend, a media visionary. Eventually, these two men parted ways with more than a little acrimony, but they're not who you're thinking of. This is Techonomics. I'm Jason Middleton. This pioneering friendship predates Silicon Valley by 100 years. David Sarnoff, the visionary creator of color television and NBC, and Edwin Armstrong, the inventor of no less than the FM radio and the amplifier, they could not keep their successful partnership going. As a matter of fact, one of the men committed suicide. Coming up is the author of The Network, The Battle for the Airwaves and the Birth of the Communication Age. His name is Scott Woolley.
Scott Woolley, a business reporter and a book author.
Right on. And the most recent book, late April, I believe, The Network, The Battle for the Airwaves and the Birth of the Communication Age. And you have to know that resonates here in Silicon Valley because this battle is never ending when it comes to the battle for audience, the battle for eyeballs, the battle for anything, including engagement. So this is really kind of a prescient story. Can you just give me like some of your 2-inch takeaways that you based your premise of the book on? And maybe we'll get into your origin story as to how you came around to the idea to begin with.
Sure. Well, it really relates to that because I was working as a reporter and editor at Forbes magazine and talking to people in Silicon Valley about the airwaves, kind of learning about them. I think like most people, I kind of had a vague understanding of how they worked. But, you know, you talk to engineers. I remember talking to the chief technical officer at Intel who said, you know, if any other natural resource was managed this way, would consider it a national tragedy. And I was sort of taken aback by that, but you talk to more and more engineers, and everybody agrees that we just waste a vast amount of the airwaves. And the potential of wireless communication has always been, it continues to be crippled by the way the government runs these things. And that got me interested in both how they work and sort of why we have this cockamamie system that we do. And then looking back, it turned out that there were even crazier stories from the 20th century about how the airwaves were mismanaged.
Now, we've all heard of Sarnoff, I think, but I don't know if everybody's heard of Armstrong. Can you just give us a bit of a sketch on both of these characters?
Armstrong was this kind of freaky, brilliant, Edison-like, Tesla-like inventor. And then his friend Sarnoff was a Russian immigrant who showed up in New York in 1900. Was kind of a penniless immigrant and found himself a job with the Marconi Wireless Telegraph Company, the first wireless company the world had ever seen, and they were trying to send wireless text messages, telegrams, to ships, you know, kind of offshore or near to shore because they could only travel a few hundred miles. So these two guys meet sort of at the very dawn of the wireless age, before radio is, most people think of it, And they formed this great friendship and partnership that lasted for several decades before going terribly wrong.
Yeah, terribly wrong because Armstrong did not come to a tidy end, it doesn't sound like. But as they say, winners write the history books, and it sounds like the reason we know Sarnoff is because he did not come to an untidy end.
That is largely true, although the books that had been written about this story had largely taken Armstrong's side. And I opened the book with sort of that mystery that faced me, and it's 1954. Armstrong is in his penthouse apartment in New York. He's an Ivy League professor. He's a celebrated inventor. He's rich, and he's thinking about jumping off of his balcony. And at the end of the first chapter, he does kill himself because he is so torn up about how what he thinks was Sarnoff's betrayal and how Sarnoff had basically stolen control of the airwaves, crippled FM radio, and was sort of limiting, also crippling the new television industry. This was Armstrong's allegation, the reason, the main thing that sort of had led up to his suicide. Obviously, there's, you know, other issues in why he made that choice, but the injustice that had come to obsess him was his theory that it was Armstrong who had done all these terrible things. But as I looked into this story, I couldn't find the proof. I mean, Armstrong had had congressional hearings into Sarnoff. He had hired 17 of Manhattan's best lawyers to sue Sarnoff in federal court and prove these allegations, and yet he never could. So that's what really fascinated me, was that you're right that Sarnoff sort of has a better rep, but in some of the books that have been written, especially about these guys, and from Armstrong's perspective, it was just Armstrong's allegations, and yet the proof had always been missing.
Yeah, the dynamic between these two is fascinating, and so is the book, called The Network, by the way. I'm talking to Scott Woolley. As a journalist, you are the first draft of histories, but you got to go a little bit deeper here, so I'm wondering what takeaways you may have here that show possibly parallels, and I'm not trying to be contrived. If there's nothing there, there's nothing there. But are you seeing anything that happened with this relationship and with this dynamic that might be something that we see today?
Absolutely. In a couple ways, we see the dynamic, the personal dynamic, and then we also see these technological patterns that the two men were in, and these radical, we think we're living in this world of sort of unprecedented wireless advance when you look at what your smartphone can do this year versus 5 years ago, and think about what it's going to be able to do 5 years from now when it's the iPhone 10. But in fact, when you go back a century ago, these guys were living through equally large, if not even larger and more profound changes in the way the world communicated wirelessly. So these great leaps that Sarnoff saw, and the reason they were both so successful, and especially Sarnoff, was his ability to understand how the airwaves would always become more powerful, and how what we think of today as this amazing technology will be looked back on as sort of trivial compared to the next great advance. So those sort of technological patterns have really repeated. And then the dynamic between the two guys, you can see in like a Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Steve Jobs there, because I couldn't help it. I mean, this is an expertly written book, a wonderful story as well. And I think you tell it from all sides. But at the same time, I could not help but hear Steve Jobs in my head as I was reading some of these recollections from Sarnoff too. So, you know, he said he played the symphony, and it sounds like Sarnoff did too.
Yeah, Sarnoff's metaphor at one point where he's like, someone has to be the captain on the bridge of the ship, and I happen to be that man. I mean, he had this idea when he was inventing color television, say, one of the many kind of technologies he pushed. You know, none of the networks in the 60s wanted to air color programs when nobody had color sets, and nobody wanted to buy color sets when there were no color programs. So Sarnoff took it upon himself to crack this chicken or the egg problem single-handedly by forcing NBC to go with a peacock as its logo and start broadcasting all these things in color, and simultaneously have RCA, which owned NBC, start building color sets on the assumption that everybody would want them. So he had that kind of like Steve Jobsian belief in his ability to see the technological future and make it happen.
Sounds like Sarnoff might be Russian for synergy, you know?
I like that.
I'm talking to Scott Woolley. He's the author of The Network, The Battle for the Airwaves and the Birth of the Communication Age, and it still holds true 100 years later. I'm sure I missed something you might want to include.
Sure. Well, I think that one of the things that sort of surprised me is how the book sort of turned into an expose of the FCC's mismanagement throughout the 20th century. And I think as we look at the FCC wrestling with issues like network neutrality today, it's very helpful to go back and understand how chronically inept the agency was in dealing with AM radio, FM radio, VHF television, UHF television, color, cable television, satellite television. I could go on, but you see this pattern of the agency being captured by the people it's supposed to regulate and serving the interests of the industries it's supposed to be controlling rather than the public that it was charged with serving. So I think as we wrestle with telecommunications policy today, it helps to have the sense of history of how it can go wrong and how this regulatory agency is very poorly designed. In fact, was never meant to do many of the things it's doing today, which is not to say that though the problems of network neutrality are imaginary, it's just it helps give a more realistic view of how Washington works and how it doesn't work.
That's Scott Woolley, a well-known journalist and an author of The Network, The Battle for the Airwaves and the Birth of the Communication Age. Scott, thanks again. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Coming up after the break, we look at the hardest hit when it comes to working and the Great Recession, displaced baby boomers. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.